You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I'll go back to one of my quotes when I first got here. You know, people sleeping on the Jets. And if people come with that same mentality, they're going to get their ass blown out. And that's 100%, no matter where we at MetLife or anywhere else. They think there's anything different, there's anything old about this Jets team, it's not going to end well for them. And that's the mindset that we're going to bring to work every day. So we just got to make sure that we hold each other accountable every day when we go to practice, make sure we try to stay healthy as possible, you know, have the same mindset, the same goal to win every game.
That's CJ Mosley. Whoa. This portion of the show brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. Without further ado, Rich Cimini joins us here. Does a phenomenal job, as always, covering the Jets for ESPN. Rich, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Anita. That quote came out of the blue last night from CJ. We're kind of taken aback a little bit when he said that.
Well, I mean, you know what it sounds to me? It sounds like something Robert Saleh would say, right? I mean, listen, you've got your finger on the pulse of this team better than most. Do you feel that there's some new swag? There's a new kind of like culture there that Saleh has already implemented in his short time here?
There's definitely a new energy. I think that would be the word I would use. So, and that stems from the head coach, no doubt. A new swag might be stretching it. I mean, it's only one game into the preseason. The Jets haven't won anything. They're still 0-0. So I don't think CJ got that from the head coach. I think he's just speaking his mind a little bit. You know, he was gone basically for 2 years out of football with injuries and COVID. So I don't know, but he's coming back. CJ 2.0, I guess, is a lot chattier than 1.0.
That's for sure. All right, let's dive into the game. And obviously the big story of the game last night was Zach Wilson. 6 for 9, 63 yards, 10 dropbacks, depth of target, 7 yards, you know, 2 drives, 3 points, very efficient, didn't take a lot of risky throws, you know, performed better than I thought. But at the same time, I thought the Giants would play a little bit more of their starters. So curious to get your thoughts on what is your analysis after seeing Zach Wilson in preseason game number one?
Yeah, I mean, I think he did what he was supposed to do. It was a good, solid performance. I thought, you know, the best throws were on third down, which is, of course, the money down. Had the real nice one to Corey Davis, and then Keelan Cole was a real good throw on third down. You know, like you said, they were pretty much safe passes. Nothing went beyond, 10, 15 yards. Everything was pretty safe. I thought he got rid of the ball on time. I liked the way they ran a couple of designed rollouts, so he was able to throw the ball outside the pocket as well as inside the pocket. So I think it was pretty structured. I don't think he went off script or anything. There were no improv. But this is what the number two pick in the draft is supposed to do in the first preseason game against a team, like you said, was playing mostly backups. He did not face Leonard Williams and that crew. So, it was a good confidence builder for Zach. You know, he had a handful of kind of shaky practices. And for him to come out in the first preseason game and do that, I think that's a real good confidence boost.
You know, night and day from what we heard at the green and white scrimmage, what was the difference there? You feel that, you know, we heard such a poor performance in the scrimmage, but really quite impressive last night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you could point to any major difference. I think he was a little nervous in the scrimmage, to be quite honest with you. I mean, a little jittery in the beginning and missed on some throws. He was going against the Jets' first team defense in that scrimmage. So, again, that was no live tackling in that scrimmage. It was kind of sort of half tackling. But, maybe that was it. I think that scrimmage is so far in the rearview mirror now that we've forgotten about it. I think what he did last night was really good. And, you know, presumably they'll play him more against Green Bay next week. And Green Bay will play their starters. He'll get a good look against that, you know. Green Bay's got a pretty good defense. You know, they got a good corner over there. So it's going to be a little bit different than throwing against some of the corners he was throwing against last night.
That's for sure. Again, Rich Cimini joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Before we start talking about some other players on this roster, I made this comment, and I'm curious to get your thoughts. For me, the joint practices I put more weight into those joint practices than I do preseason games. And so I'm curious if you do as well, and you know, what you're going to be looking for in those joint practices against the Packers this week.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that's a new trend in the NFL. I mean, coaches like it. You know, there's probably less risk of injury, and you get so many good reps against the starting players. So, you know, the Jets are going to be going against Aaron Rodgers. So it's a lot different than Mike Glennon, I can tell you that much. But and for the Jets receivers, it'll be great to go against those corners. But specifically the Jets corners, who we all know, they're very, very young. They have the fewest combined career starts than any cornerback group in the NFL. I think it's 34, 35 career starts. And so they held up last night, and Les Austin and Bryce Hall. I mean, come on. It was Mike Glennon at quarterback. You know, so, you know, they're going to get a chance to practice against Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams and that whole gang. So that'll be a really, really good litmus test for the Jets corners. I think that more than any. And, of course, you want to see how Zach does in that kind of environment. There'll be a lot of fans there. Those, you know, those joint practices in Green Bay are going to draw a lot of people. Typically for the Packer fans, are always showing up in droves. So that'll be a good experience for Zach as well.
I'm sure. Do you have an idea of, you know, how much we will see Zach Wilson play in preseason game number two? You know, idea?
This is just a guess, but it seems like the natural progression would be the first half. You know, you want to see him go a little bit longer with the starters. And so I think he ended up playing two series and 21 plays last night. And they were two long drives, too. So that was impressive. Now, they didn't score a touchdown, and ultimately – that is what the quarterback's job is to get his team in the end zone, and the Jets got a field goal with Wilson at quarterback. So, but I would guess about a half in Green Bay.
Interesting. All right, let's talk about some of the other players, and specifically I want to talk about the backfield. I love Michael Carter. 7 carries, 22 yards, but Ty Johnson, 9 carries for 33. I liked the addition when Ty came over from the Green Bay Packers, but I don't feel that this Jets organization used him properly, or maybe he was dealing with some injury. I don't know. I was curious. I wanted to ask you about Ty and this backfield and how you think that this backfield is going to play out this season.
I think it'll be a backfield by committee. I definitely don't see one lead dog there. I think it's the four guys. And Ty's been getting a lot of quality reps in practice throughout camp. You know, Tevin Coleman didn't play last night. He was out for personal reasons. So it moved everyone up a little bit. I don't know how they would have gone with the rotation. The first rotation last night clearly was Ty Johnson and Michael Carter got the first half reps, and then they went to LaMichael Perine and the others in the second half. So I think it'll be the four guys, you know, Johnson, Perine, Carter, and Coleman. And it's just a committee. To me, it screens out committee. They all have different skill sets. I think they complement each other. I think it's going to be very difficult for fantasy owners, you know, picking out one guy if you want a running back off the Jets. I don't know. I don't know if that would be a high, certainly not a high pick, but because they all do different things. And I think it might be the hot guy each week. I think it could depend on matchups and so forth. So it's going to be a revolving door, I think, at running back.
What about the wide receivers? Mims, 4 targets last night, different than what we heard in you know, the previous week, was 3 for 51. Corey Davis looks like he has some good chemistry with Zach Wilson so far. How do you feel about this wide receiving core based on what you've seen so far, Rich?
Well, Davis is clearly the number one, and you know, Elijah Moore will probably be the number two receiver. He was out last night with that quad injury. Luckily for the Jets, that's not serious. He's day-to-day. And then, you know, you'll have Crowder in the slot. And so I think those will be your three receivers. And, you know, you saw last night Keelan Cole get a lot of run with the starters. I think he's probably the fourth receiver. And then, you know, then it gets kind of interesting. I mean, Denzel had a good game last night. He made that incredible play on 3rd and 18 where I counted quickly. I think he broke or eluded at least 6 tacklers on that play, you know, to get, you know, the first down on a 3rd and 18. It was really impressive. And that was the highlight of the game as far as the Jets went offensively. But, you know, Denzel, you know, it's a weird situation because he played last night, but he did not play with the starters. He got 32 snaps on offense. It was all with the backups, the 2nd and 3rd team. And he also played on special teams for the first time. He got seven snaps on special teams. And I think if he wants to play, you know, on Sundays, if he wants to be active for games, he's probably going to have to contribute on special teams, because I don't see him as being any better than the fifth or sixth receiver right now. And we all know, if you're the fifth or sixth receiver, you know, you got to play on teams. And so he told us last night he volunteered to the coaches. He went to the coaches and urged them to give him some opportunities on special teams, which, you know, is a pretty cool thing for him to do.
Rich Cimini joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Two more questions for you before I let you go and get on to your Sunday fun day. Elijah Moore did not play. What's the significance of his injury? Any concerns there? Will he be active in the joint practices against Green Bay? What do we know?
He's day-to-day. You know, he had the MRI. It's not serious. It's a quadriceps injury. They don't seem concerned at all. Salah said that, you know, they thought he'd come back this week, you know, in some capacity. So they're certainly not going to rush him back. He's had a tremendous camp. He's been their best rookie easily. He's been, you know, he's probably one of the three best players in training camp. You know, him, Corey Davis, and Carl Lawson have been the three best players in training camp. And so, you know, I think he'll maybe practice some with the joints in Green Bay. You know, and then if he proceeds well from there, then maybe get him out on the field. But I don't think it's a serious injury. I don't think it's anything to worry about.
And last but not least, I field a lot of calls, and I'm also curious about this. Do you think at any point in time the Jets are going to add a veteran quarterback to the quarterback room? And why do you feel they haven't done that so far?
Well, if you asked me a month or two ago, I would have said yes, but it's become pretty evident that they're going to go with what they have. I don't see them, and they would have done it already. I mean, there's been opportunities along the way to add somebody, and, you know, of course they added Josh Johnson, but he's really running with the fourth group right now. He didn't even get in the game last night, so I don't see him making the roster. I think Mike White is going to be their backup. He was up and down last night. I thought he made some good throws, some not so good throws. It's a weird situation, Anita. I mean, they are just, you know, I think they need a veteran backup. The last time a team went into a regular season with no quarterbacks with any regular season experience was 2013. And so we're talking 8 years. Actually, it was the Jets and the Bills that year who did it. And so the Jets, I think they're in total rebuilding mode this year, and they're trying to develop players. And I guess they feel that they just want to go all in with Zach and try to develop some of these backup players. And so I think it's a mistake. I think you want to have a safety net. If something happens to Zach, you want to get a guy who can get everyone lined up and in and out of the huddle and have a functional offense. So I think it's a mistake, but I think it's pretty clear they're going to go with what they have right now.
Great stuff, Rich. Thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday morning with a deeper dive into last night's game and what we can expect this coming week. I'm excited to see what develops with the scrimmage between the Green Bay Packers and the Jets. Thank you. Thank you, Rich.
You're welcome, Anita. Have a good day.
You got it.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.